Our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel according to Mark. Begins with chapter 1, verse 1. First, a few words of introduction. Because indeed we are about to hear Mark's birth story. I use the term birth story loosely because Mark's birth story is one you never hear on Christmas Eve. Because it's not about Mary and Joseph, nor do shepherds, wise men, or angels that you would recognize from central casting appear for the big night in Bethlehem. In fact, the setting is not Bethlehem, but the River Jordan. And Jesus appears on the scene, fully grown. So what is Mark telling us? What is Mark heralding about this good news of Jesus' birth? And why does he begin here? Let's ponder this as we listen to this reading of Mark 1, beginning with verse 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. For I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be attuned to your good news, your real news, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Are you ready for Christmas? We hear that question a lot, do we not? And we probably hear ourselves asking it too. From store clerks to close friends, this question is just in the air. Bob and I just went out and cut our first Wisconsin Christmas tree and trimmed it yesterday, and that makes me feel a little more ready. We all have different traditions and rituals to help us get ready. One of my early childhood memories of getting ready for Christmas was sitting at a card table in my Graham King's living room when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. On this card table were lots of little presents that she had ordered from a catalog months earlier for all her children and grandchildren. Of course, this was way before Amazon or internet. So she planned ahead, was all by paper, but you kind of think that was sort of a forerunner of what we do now. Anyway, I got to help her wrap them. And of course, this was all top secret. And I'm being the youngest of four children, I loved being in the know, knowing about these presents and not telling anyone. And I also marveled at how far ahead she had started on this project of preparing for Christmas. So how do you get ready for Christmas? Today we just heard the wild and woolly, honey and locust eating, leather-belted, camel-haired wearing John the Baptist, alerting his followers that something very big was coming soon. Get ready! The big one is coming! Repent now! If we really listen to John the Baptist, this angular, intrusive, explosive coming of Jesus sounds more like a meteor landing than the birth story we love about Mary and Joseph and the stable behind the inn. John the Baptist is not talking about tape and scissors, sugar cookies, holiday sales at Walmart, or Cyber Monday. This beginning of the good news brings to mind bulldozers and wrecking balls. He's talking radical change, reconstruction, rerouting, reworking, rethinking. Big change is coming. It's in the air. Are you ready or not? And if we're not, how do we get ready? How do we prepare the way? Well, that depends on for whom we are preparing, doesn't it? In my family, I learned from my mom and dad some particular steps involved in getting ready for the coming of a loved one to our house. Clean house, not my favorite step. Prepare the favorite foods of the person coming, the things that they really like to eat. Put flowers on their bedside table. Make room in the bureau. Hangers in the closet. Now my dad would need extra hangers. Iced tea, no matter the season, with lots of lemon. And being a diabetic, orange juice in the fridge and Splenda packets on the table. My mom was easier. Chocolate chip cookies. That would do it. And remember, we were taught to get out whatever presents this guest may have given us. Clothes, earrings, household objects. Get them out, wear them, put them around where they'll see them. That was how I was taught to prepare for what we love to call our most honored guest who's coming to visit. But if it's Christ who's coming, how do we get ready for this most honored and deeply loved, so like us and so not like us, guest? Let's think, building on how we get ready for a house guest, what does Christ like? What gifts has Christ given us? How do we rearrange our homes and lives to get ready for Christ? This is what I hear Isaiah and John the Baptist shouting to us from the wilderness when they say, "Prepare the way of the Lord." So today, the second Sunday of Advent, is the day for us to listen to the voices of these two messengers, these prophets, yes, these angels, heralding, proclaiming truth about the one who is the way. Today, also being the baptism day of Luna, welcoming her into our community of faith, we must ask some important questions. What did we just baptize her into? What is this way of the Lord that offered hope to those in exile in Babylon, from our Isaiah text, and to those oppressed by the power of Rome in Jesus' time, and to the first audience of Mark's gospel, which was written during the horrific events of the Jewish war? How do we prepare the way in our political and economic context this day? Isaiah and Mark and John the Baptist all point to a kind of preparation that has more to do with digging and rerouting, regrouping, reworking, highway reconstruction, than with buying and wrapping presents or baking Christmas goodies. Perhaps along with the beautiful stole and the Hug a Bible baptism gifts that we gave, we should also have given Luna a hard hat and a bulldozer. What am I talking about? In a word, we are being called to repent. Yes, to prepare the way of the Lord, to get ready for Christ's coming, as we heard John the Baptist say, is a call to repent, turn around, to go beyond the mind you have, as Marcus Borg likes to put it. Yes, to change. To change whatever is separating us from Christ. Oh no, not that. Where's the Mary in that? Leave it to you preachers preaching Advent and Killjoy, John the Baptist, to take all the jolly out of Christmas season. We'd much rather get ready for that sweet little baby Jesus, born to young and beautiful Mary. Well, we imagine that she was beautiful, right? In doing so, we can forget that it's Christ who is coming. Mark, the first gospel written, didn't even include this part of Jesus' story at all. Mark skips to the chase from the word go, as we just saw. He began his gospel at the River Jordan rather than a Bethlehem stable. His birth story, his incarnational event, sets us in the wilderness and at the river's edge, a setting rich with continuity, waters of creation, the deliverance of Noah, the exodus of Israel out of bondage through the waters of the sea, and at the same time, discontinuity. God becoming one of us. A new baptism. A new day. Repent. So how do we prepare for this event? What do we know about Christ? What does Christ need from us? What has Christ given to us that has somehow slipped to the back of our drawer and has been all but forgotten? Or perhaps maybe we were never really all that fond of that gift that Christ gave us, if we're really honest. Because Christ came to save us from our sins, yay, and to enlist our help to save the whole world. Whoa! You heard Isaiah, valleys lifted, mountains made low, beautiful poetry about radical change that is hard to hear apart from Handel's Messiah wafting through our minds. But it is all about God's way where peace and justice, especially for the underdogs, reign supreme. To become people of the way, we are called to let God melt away our old self-destructive ways of thinking and being, the ways we beat up on ourselves and others, and the ways we like to lick our wounds and turn our backs on people who have done us wrong or with whom we disagree. John the Baptist is calling us to another way, a way that begins with a power shift, a way that starts with the humble position to which we are all called. Did you hear what he said? I am not worthy to stoop down and tie the thong of his sandals. And yet, this is John the Baptist, the one who is paired with Christ in his birth and in some ways in his sacrificial and violent death. This pairing of Christ and John the Baptist follows a tradition of Moses and Aaron, David and Jonathan, Elijah and Elisha, Ezra and Nehemiah, Peter and Paul in Acts. And it breaks tradition, discontinuity, in that we are called into the pairing, that partnership in place of John. Continuity, discontinuity. We may not have to eat locusts and honey and wear camel hair, thank God, but we are being called to prepare the way, yoked with Christ, who is the way. So are we ready to be preparers of the way? Angels in the Isaiah stream shouting, here is your God, or John the Baptist stream shouting, repent. If you think about it, John the Baptist didn't really know what to expect, did he? Beyond his prophetic visions? But we do. Christ has come to this earth and gone. And how have we changed? How should we repent? If we're getting ready to make the same mistakes, to keep spinning our wheels in the same ruts of resentment, rushing to judgment, ranting against what we don't understand, then we don't need to repent. If we want to keep being mad at the family member or friend we stopped speaking to years ago, but can't remember quite why, then we don't need to repent. If we want to keep railing against the politicians we love to hate and fail to use our power as citizens to voice our concerns to those in power with our votes and our dollars and our footsteps, then we don't need to repent either. Do you ever wonder why it is that Christ has not returned yet? Don't worry, I have no idea, but I've thought about this and wondered. And actually, you know, this was a big disappointment and puzzlement for the people of the way in that first century who expected him to come in their time. But why has he not come again? Maybe there's more building and reconstruction yet to do. Getting saved is the easier part if you think about it, because God does that for us. That's the beginning. But preparing the way for the Lord, being Christ's hands and feet to save the world, that's the hard part. Or maybe I should say the harder part. So what are we doing or not doing that is hindering the way of the Lord? This is an important question for us as individuals, as families, as a church, as a community, as a nation, and as a world. In September, a United Nations agency warned that 40.3 million people across the globe are subject to some form of modern slavery. And 152 million children are subject to child labor. One more number. About 28.7 million are women or children, are women or girls forced into sex, marriage, or labor. And this week, with the continued revelations about politicians and celebrities and their abuse of power in sexual misconduct, I've wondered if this truth-telling that's coming up, coming to light, about abhorrent behavior on the part of the politically powerful from both parties, is perhaps one sign of hills being made low and valleys being lifted up. Perhaps. But what is absolutely clear is this: increasing economic disparities, the sin of racism, the refugee crisis, the abuse of our one and only planet, we have a lot of repenting to do. We, the people of the way, paired with that one who came to show us the path, to show us how God makes a way out of no way. So where to start? Right here, you and I, from baby Luna to our longest living member, Margaret Fornefelt, and all of us in between. Christ has called us into community to walk forward as people of the way who listen and learn. Listen and learn from one another. Together, let us spend time preparing the way as we get ready for Christmas. So where do we place that bulldozer? Put on your hard hat. Pick one issue that tugs at your heart. Pray. Give time, money. Pray more. Organize with others to mobilize and take action. That is a great way to get ready for our most honored guest, Christ Jesus. Along with the presents and the cookies. Yes, Christmas is coming, and so is Christ. Let's get ready. Amen.